What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Self-Helpless. I'm Taylor Tomlinson.
I'm Kelsey Cook.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
And we are so excited to be doing a, I think, highly recommended book. This was recommended by yes. Helpster Marie, so thank you.
Yes.
The book Girl Stop Apologizing by Rachel Hollis.
Yeah. And you know what? It doesn't have to just be girl. Boy, stop boy. Apologizing too.
Dude,
hey, let's
man,
all do it.
Stop apologizing.
Bra.
So we're going to talk about why you should not let expectations or fears dictate your life, how 5 hours a week can put you on the right path to following your true passions, and other actionable tips to develop and reach your own personal goals.
Oh, yes.
Do we have a quotable?
Oh, we sure do. this is from Laurel Thatcher Ulrich. It's a historian, if you've never heard of her. It's a lady, right?
I think so, Laurel.
I really butchered this quotable, guys. Here we go. Well-behaved women seldom make history. A classic.
I thought that was Marilyn Monroe. Does she just get every quote attributed to her?
You know,
I
probably.
Think she does, yeah.
You know when it's just like a quote is attributed to like 15 people
sure
and you just
kind
of pick your favorite, you know?
Yeah. I for sure know a girl who has this quote tattooed on her with a dash Marilyn Monroe
oh,
next
no.
to
her. I feel so bad
That's
for that.
That's too
I,
bad.
I absolutely know. Mae West.
Oh, yeah, it's attributed
so
to Mae West.
Everybody
says.
Said it. One person said it, probably not famous, who never got credit, and then one famous person
well, this,
took it.
And you know who has now said it is you, Delaney Fisher. So if anybody wants to get a tattoo,
oh, yeah.
technically.
yeah. Well, this is historian, so I feel like this is.
This is probably the lady who probably never is not getting credit until right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're
True.
Welcome.
Laurel. I feel like Marilyn Monroe, the one I always think of is if you don't love me at my worst, you don't deserve me at my best.
Yeah.
That was Marilyn Monroe.
That
for
was
sure.
Marilyn Monroe.
That sounds like a
yeah.
Marilyn quote. Uh-huh.
That sounds like something an artist would say during a manic high.
yes.
And then not feel that way at all, like a week later.
yes. I believe Marilyn famously had BPD. It's in like all of her like biographies
really?
And stuff like that. Oh, I did not know
Oh,
that.
I did not know that.
Huh. Yep. There's like, if you look up like the people who are famous or have passed on, she's like one of the people that's like yeah one of a famous person
I had
BPD.
No idea
yep
yeah. Oh wow
yeah why don't you look at that
yeah
I thought that was her quote
well I'm pretty sure it's this Ulrich lady I mean that just sounds like the right
I mean it's hard I mean it's true every time you Google a quote 5 to 15 different people come up.
That's
on a meme or something.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's pretty much truly impossible to protect your intellectual property.
Memes really have really is. Ruined history. Yeah.
All right. Should we start off with the social pressures that turn into behavioral patterns?
I think we should.
Okay, let's get into it.
God, what has happened to us?
You guys, it's been a long day.
It's been such a long day. I'm also very ill, so I apologize to the listeners if I sound...
Hey, stop apologizing, girl.
Oh, my God. Wow, you did that so quickly. That was impressive. I sound gross.
Oh, here we go. So it is human nature to desire attention and care about what others think.
Thank Boy, God. You don't have to tell three comedians yeah, that twice.
We figured Seriously. That shit out. It's yes. probably like when you think about, you know, that like instinct, it's probably so you didn't like get killed by the herd back in the day, right? 100%. You got to be likable so they keep you around, right? So you have a value thinking. To the tribe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. This is not in the book. Sorry. as children, we realize which behaviors reward us. Reward attention and develop behavioral patterns that we carry into adulthood in different ways. For example, if a child receives caring and attention only when she is sick, perhaps that person will develop a pattern of hypochondria.
Ooh.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Or if a child realizes that they are showered with praise if they achieve certain things, perhaps that person will develop workaholism.
What? I don't know what that is. Whoa.
What are they even talking
That's
about?
Crazy. Oh my God, I'm not a comedian because I want my dad to love me. Shut up.
That doesn't sound like any of us.
What a concept. You know. Oh, man. So a symptom of growing up in a patriarchal society is that women feel the need to get approval from their typically male authority figures, causing them to feel unsure about stepping out of line or doing things differently. Mm-hmm. For many women, this social pressure results in the need to apologize or ask for approval if they have desires that don't align with traditional expectations. To simplify it, boys are raised to pursue their desires while girls are raised to pursue what they believe is expected of them.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I do feel like I apologize so much.
Yeah.
And it's not always for anything I actually did. I'm just like, I like defensively apologize.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Well, sometimes it's like, I don't know. For me, it's like, the nicer you are, the less likely you're going to get murdered, probably.
Absolutely.
If you can be the nice person, maybe you're safe. Because they're like, they keep that locked in their head. Yeah. Well, Delaney said hi to me today. I'm not going to take her down. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, I don't know. I think it's a mix. I think it's like a mix of us being kind of afraid that something is going to happen to us and also being raised like, be ladylike, you know, be kind, be polite.
Somebody ever bumped into you and you're like, I'm sorry.
Yes.
You're like, why? I was just being a person. I just stand here. But that is, I think, our instinct a lot of time.
Yeah.
So the author's double life. For years, author Rachel Hollis led a double life. Half the time, she presented herself as a devoted wife and mom who just happened to have a popular lifestyle blog. The other half of the time, she inhabited a life which included the reality behind that blog, a 60-hour work week, overseeing a small staff to run her own business, of which the blog was only a part. So Hollis describes that she did this because after having her first kid, she felt pressure to be a devoted mom and not focus on her career.
Oh man, that makes so much sense. I mean, none of us have kids, obviously. Yeah. But I have always thought about that in terms of like, when I have kids, I feel very much like, okay, I have to be at a certain level of success because when I have kids, I'm going to feel like, oh, I have to focus all my attention on this now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is my job now. And I know that's just going to happen to me. And if I don't have the type of career that I can't just like bail on, you know, then because otherwise I could totally see myself having kids and feeling too guilty to keep doing what I do and be away all the time.
Right. Yeah. I feel like sometimes when I think about it, it's like I get nervous that I wouldn't be doing anything very well. Like, I don't think I'd be a very good mom, and I don't think I'd be a very good business owner because I just feel like my attention would just be constantly, torn. It's like, maybe I should just pick one thing and do it really well. But I know there's plenty of examples out there of people with fantastic careers and or great parents and involved and stuff. And I think it's just trying to find those examples more so than the other examples and kind of hold on to that if
it
you
is
can,
hard.
You know, if it's a want of yours to do both.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
So next up, don't let other people's expectations define you. Oh, so hard to do. Years of social pressure can cause many women to develop behaviors and habits that enable them to just fit in. But ask yourself, does being like other women really make you happy and fulfilled? Also, when considering the goals or pursuits that would bring them intrinsic happiness, many women feel guilty for wanting something that others seemingly do not. Yeah. But the truth is, you shouldn't let other people determine your self-worth or make you feel guilty or ashamed of pursuing what you want from life. To break free of these deeply rooted behaviors, stop focusing on meeting someone else's expectations. Do you guys feel like that in terms of just not being sure if you want to have kids?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I know you've talked about that.
Yeah, well, I went back and forth for a while up until recently. I think the last time we all kind of talked about this, I think Kelsey was more of a no. Taylor's pretty much a hard yes. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of in the middle. And since then, you know, Cam and I have talked about how we really don't think we want them. And if we do at some point, we'll look into adoption and all that. But yeah, I think, I mean, everybody in my family pretty much has kids. I think it's just kind of like an expected, not expected, but it's normalized, obviously. Right. So it's like you get married, you have kids. I don't know. It's just something that feels like the next step for most people. And if you don't want that, it becomes weird talking right. about it because people are always asking you mm-hmm. about it, you know, yeah. because it is normalized.
Well, I think we've doubled down on the things that are not normalized because we're pursuing careers that are very like in male-dominated fields and do kind of require putting a lot of personal life things to the side. Mm-hmm. Whereas some of my friends pursued like pretty normal, just day-to-day sort of careers and jobs, knowing that they wanted to make family a priority. Mm-hmm. So I think when you mm-hmm. choose career, that also can like push kids back away. So it's like a twofer.
Yeah,
thing. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny because I feel like. We don't get this so much because we live in Los Angeles, but I know a very common thing for women is if they don't want to have kids, people view them as like selfish. Like, oh, you're too selfish. That's why you're not going to have kids.
Weirdest thing I've ever heard.
But I think you could see it from a different angle, especially like people in our business. Mm-hmm. I almost feel selfish having kids with the job I have because it's like, oh, I'm going to have kids and I'm going to be away from them most of the time right. and like fuck them up that way. Like, so for me, having kids feels selfish.
Dude, that whole thing, that is the most asinine comment I hear about not becoming a mom. Seriously, that has been said in conversation like around me and I have to zip it up because I'm like, what are you saying?
It's selfish to not have
them? It's selfish to not have kids. Yeah. Let's put it this way. Objectively, as a planet, it's very selfish to have kids.
Absolutely.
Because there's so many kids out there that need homes that you could adopt. I'm not saying, look, if you've had kids, that's fantastic. You know, personal choice. I'm just saying if you looked at it objectively, people who are not having kids are actually doing something great for the planet. Yeah. And like you said, it's like if you have a very busy career and you think that your kids might suffer, why? Mm-hmm. Why do that? Why do that? Why don't you just be like a really great aunt or, you know, when you know, work slows down, you could be a foster parent or something like that. But I always thought that was so weird. It's like, why? How am I selfish to my hypothetical children? By right. not having yeah. them, like I've been called selfish before because of that. And I'm like, that mm. doesn't make any sense to me mm. at all.
Like there's a baby up in heaven going, you piece of shit. This was supposed to be my year.
I was like, and why, I'm selfish just because I want to live my life. Like, how come I'm not allowed to have wants and desires for my life? Why does my worth depend on bringing somebody else into the world? That's just such a weird, I don't like when people say that about people who don't want to have kids. It's so strange.
People get so concerned about other people's choices that have nothing to do with them. Like they project so much of their own stuff. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
I sound so sickly. Oh. Like the longer this goes on, I'm like, I sound horrible. Oh. Okay.
So proceed. So next section, make time for your goals. We've all dismissed an exciting new idea with the response, I don't have time. Brace yourself for some tough love. This is an excuse that needs to be banished from your mind. Stop looking for free time and start making time for your goals. Take ownership of your life. Accept responsibility for your happiness by taking control over your time and schedule. First, create a schedule that lists every hour that you currently spend currently spend your time, then find a minimum of 5 hours anywhere in the week to commit to actively pursuing your goal.
Like
try out mm-hmm. this new plan for the week ahead. Eventually you will find ways to expand the time on your goals, basically.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and it's a lot like what you've said before on here, Del, where it's like, instead of saying, I don't have time to do that or I can't do it, it's like, no, it's just not a priority.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think that was like a quotable at some point where it's like, the truth is when you say you don't have time, just start saying it's not a priority and see how that feels to you.
Yeah.
So I use the excuse like, oh, I don't have time to work out today. I don't have time to go eat healthy. I don't have, right? It's like, actually, it's not a priority to work out and eat healthy, which makes me feel terrible.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, my self-care should be a priority.
Right.
And so say that to yourself and see how it feels.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that's really good.
I couldn't agree more with like breaking your day down hour by hour and at least doing that in a planner, like scheduling what your day should be, like putting the word lunch in your day. Like that should be part of your day. Putting the word shower.
Yeah.
You should have like a more realistic idea of what your day to day is, because I think a lot of us write out the things we think we're going to accomplish in a day. And then we get to about 4 p.m. and we're like, well, fuck.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be able to get even half of this done. But it's because we didn't set ourselves up to achieve even half of that.
Yeah.
Because we're not being realistic about like, oh, there's actually so many other things I have to do that's just self-care.
Yeah.
Not even like treating yourself, just like having a fucking bowel movement. You know, it's like it's more than that.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
I have to write fun in my calendar.
Yeah, me too.
I have to either write fun or I have to put the activity like walk, take bath.
Yeah.
You know, like, or else I won't do it. I won't make it a priority. So I'm the same. Like, I have to have like a visual reminder, like, all right, you have to make time for this. And you, and then you can cross it off your list, you know? So that's my reward if I treat myself to a.
I think that's why I'm always in a relationship, because that's the only excuse I feel like I can take for taking time off. Where I'm like, oh, I'm working on my relationship, so I'm still working. Still working on something, but it's my relationship with another human being.
While having sex, which
is
fun.
Yeah, which is a fun, that's a fun job.
Yeah.
That's fun homework.
I remember feeling that way when I first started dating Cam, because it was like, oh my God, I'm knocking off so many things off the list like at once. I'm like, spending time with my boyfriend, I'm relaxing, you know, I'm watching a movie. Like I was just, it was like a very weird calculated thing.
But it's hard to do that on your own, to just sit down and watch a movie and be tired.
It was like an external account, like an accountability partner. It's like, all right, we watch TV together now. This is a task I'm doing.
Activity.
We're such psychos.
We really are.
Don't let fear of what others will think stand in your way. Many women have the fear of what will they think ringing in their ears when they consider pursuing a goal. But the truth is sometimes we need to be, quote unquote, selfish in order to accomplish our goals. The author described a story her father told her about the start of his PhD. His professor told him and his peers that they must be selfish with their time in order to handle the grueling coursework ahead. Otherwise, their family and friends would talk them out of their pursuit.
Ooh, I've definitely been that friend. Like, when my friends are like, med school's so hard, I'm like, why are you doing it?
Yeah.
If I were friends with everyone, no one would ever be doctors or lawyers. Because I'm just like, that sounds like shitty. Why are you doing that?
Why would you do that? So the next time you're considering changing your behavior out of fear of what others think, remember this. There are two types of people in the world. Stupid, judgmental jerks.
Hey-o.
And nice, non-judgmental people. Well, that's one black and white way to look at it. I don't necessarily
agree with that.
Okay, Rachel.
There's a, like a gray area, so like fun assholes in there in the, you know, in the middle.
Absolutely. I think I'd like to put myself in the fun asshole category. That sounds way better than either of those. It's a very like Slytherin house and a very Hufflepuff house.
I know, it really
those
is.
Those are two extremes. Judgmental jerks will always find something to judge. Don't waste your time worrying about what they think. I mean, I agree with
yeah,
that.
I agree with that.
There are people who are particularly judgmental, and you're just like, all you hear them do is talk shit. And you're like, okay, well, you're going to talk shit about me too. And I can't take that personally because that's all you do.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
When you let other people's opinions get in your way, you're giving up your power and letting other people's opinions dictate your life. Only you know what's best for you. Besides, more often than not, people spend far less time thinking about you than you suspect, mm-hmm. which is very true.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Did you guys experience stuff like this when you decided to pursue stand-up?
People trying to talk us out of it?
Yeah.
I honestly didn't, which is probably the only reason I'm here. Because I really? Like, oh, my parents were like, take a year off, like, from school and focus on stand-up. And then I was like, oh, I'm going to, like, quit school. And they were like, okay, well, you're going to go back, right? But I'm like, you guys said to take time off and focus on stand-up.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, I don't think I had anybody try to talk me out of stand-up besides me. But I tried to talk myself out of it pretty hard.
Yeah.
For years, I did.
Yeah.
And I had everybody else being like, no, you need to do this.
Right. I think a lot of people thought it was like a phase, which I guess technically it was now. I think people thought it was a phase, a 6.5-year phase. And then I guess like took it more seriously like when I was taking it more seriously. I don't really know. But
yours wasn't a phase. That's like a chapter.
Yeah, a chapter.
But I would get questions on like when I was going to get a different job. You know, like, when am I going to get the real job? Or,
And
then I would just get people who didn't really understand. Like, they thought I was doing stand-up because I couldn't get other jobs. You know what I mean? And I was like, no, this is, like, I'm actively pursuing this thing. Or comedy writing or whatever it was. And so, like, I would get, you know, like, why don't you just like, work at a Macy's? Or, like that kind of thing. Yeah. I'm like, what do you mean? I'm choosing this. I know it's hard to believe.
But like, you're dancing behind a hat.
I think because in the beginning it can be tough, like, making money and making ends meet and all that stuff. And I think when people see you as, like, maybe not having a lot of money, they think that you can't get a job that pays better or something. Yeah, mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm actually, like, this is the cost of maybe pursuing this for a while.
Yeah.
I know that I've been lucky enough to get jobs that pay very well and have all the benefits and corporate stuff, but I'm actually choosing to leave that to do this thing. And so I think that's where the help was coming from. Like, oh, you know, you could probably do something like be a flight attendant.
You know? Yeah. You would be a good flight attendant.
You'd be great. You'd be such a fun one.
Yeah. Oh. Like pretzels, you're like tossing it to people who are sleeping. You'd be fun. God. You'd be a good time in the sky.
I feel like you like slip somebody a joint.
Let's do this in the bathroom.
Yeah.
I do actually think at one point I was on the phone with my dad, like, talking about my road schedule and how tough it was. And he was like, well, you're not going to do this forever. And I was like, what do you mean? And he was like, well, you'll write or you'll be a producer or something. Like, still within this realm, but was just like, well, yeah, this is just temporary. You're not going to be a traveling circus forever. And I was like, no, this is like my job. Like, this is what I want. I'm like, I would like to travel more at a higher level. Like, it was a few years ago now. But and I think even like, reaching certain goals within your desired profession, you can be worried about what other people are going to think. I mean, like, I'm worried about that with this special coming out. Like, I know there are people who are nice to my face, mm-hmm. who are going to talk shit. Mm-hmm. And if I was worried about people talking shit, like, if we were worried about people talking shit every time we did something on television, we would never do anything because it would drive us insane.
Yeah.
You know?
It's part of the territory.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I sent my, this is like a, I mean, sort of a side note to fuck, I guess. I sent my intro to my special to a friend of mine, and he wrote back and was just like, oh, first off, super awesome, but I'm not a big fan of, like, this type of intro, but the lighting looks good. And I was like, oh, I should have been, and I just said to him, I said, I should have been more clear. This is the intro. It is locked, and we feel great about it. And he was like, oh, he's like, did I mention I love this type of intro? And I was like, all right, that's fine. You can, you know, like, people will just try
you
to, like.
You need to say who it is afterward.
I'll tell you afterward. Yeah. I mean, and it's, you know, it was just one of those things where I was like, oh, you thought I was sending this to you for your approval, and I wasn't. I was just trying to share something with you as a friend, and
just
clearly.
Great job.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just be like, oh, very cool. Thanks for sharing. And instead to get, like, a note back, I was like, but I say that to say people are gonna give you their opinions whether you ask for them or not, and she's right, if you are constantly living in fear of those negative opinions, it's gonna paralyze
you. They're coming.
They're coming.
Hold on
tight.
Another thing you do, adopt useful behaviors in pursuit of your goals. So embrace your ambitions and look at some good behaviors you can adopt to increase the chances of successfully reaching your goals. First, stop asking for permission. You have all the authority you need to follow your life's goals. Next, focus on one dream at a time. It's tempting to spread your ambition across multiple goals as it reduces the stakes, but this also means there's less chance of anything significant happening. As the author puts it, when everything is important, nothing is important. Mm-hmm. That's a great quote. That's God like that quote, damn. If you try to please everybody, you'll please nobody. Is that Bill Cosby?
Right. Bill Cosby is, I don't know what the key to success is, but I know the key to failure is trying to make everybody happy.
That's what it is.
What's the quote? Like, that. If you stand for everything, you stand for nothing?
Yeah. There you all go. Those are great.
All of them.
These are
all
you know who said all of them? Marilyn Monroe. Yeah.
What got if it a was tattooed Ulrich? On my back.
Embrace the 10-10-1 plan. So think 10 years ahead from now and how you'd like your life to look. Get as specific and detailed as you can. Visualize and write down everything about this future life, where you'll be living, what your day-to-day is like, even what clothes you're wearing. Then think of the goals that will help make this imagined future a reality. Next, from those 10 goals, pick the one goal that you believe to be the most important. Follow this by making your one big goal significant, specific, and measurable. For example, I want to be better at managing money is not as clear as I have $10,000 in my savings account. Finally, write down your 10 dreams every single day, not as I wish or I want statements, but as though they have already come true. This will help you organize and measure your goals and keep you motivated.
I like that.
Okay. Yeah, is it the? I think that's the 10-10-10 plan.
Oh.
In 10
years.
Oh, no. 10-10-1 because you pick one specific goal. Okay. That makes sense. I was like, what's the one? But it's okay. So you think of 10 years from now, and then you pick 10 goals, and then you pick one big specific one.
You guys have like a 10-year, like if you had to think of 10 years from now, what it would look like for you?
No, I hate doing that shit.
Really?
I have such a hard time. 10
really?
Years? Yeah, 10 years is so far.
When you're 40, you don't know what you want your life to look like at 40?
No.
Oh, okay.
What's yours?
I mean, I would like to be touring theaters and have a family.
That's nice. I mean, I can do that. Like, say, sort of, like, those are, like, vague. Do you have, like, what this is talking about where it's, like, you know what clothes you're going to wear? And
every day I'm wearing what I wear every day now. I'm going to keep wearing this.
I get anxiety when it's, like, draw exactly what house you'll be living in. I'm just like, and then I can't do any of it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's like, very specific. I feel like that's more... Well, it's more to just keep you focused. Doesn't it feel like that?
Well, that's pretty specific because instead of saying I want to be touring nationally and blah, 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 you're like, I want to be touring theaters and I want to have a family, you know? Like, that's pretty specific.
Yeah. You know? Maybe start with those and then work down for, like, your next eight. Be like, okay, well, how would I get to those? I probably need to make a TV show or I'd probably need to build my podcast or whatever it is.
Right.
You know
what
I mean? Right. Or like, oh, I want to be... a lawyer, a high-powered lawyer living in New York. It's like, okay, well, what do you have to do that? First, you got to save up to move. Then you got to, you know, get an internship. Like, I think if you break it down a little bit more, that could be really helpful, especially if you have 10 goals. I mean, have you ever tried to set 10 goals in a row? You will get very overwhelmed. Oh, so I think it's helpful to have them all sort of interconnected, almost like steps.
Yeah, I have one big goal indefinitely now, and that's just to create enough passive income for myself that I basically don't work. I work, but my work goes on without me. I oversee.
Yes.
Also still have a handful.
You're a dictator.
A handful of one-on-one clients and stuff because I really like that work a lot. Yeah. But other than that, I think. Yeah, just like so I can just, I don't know, live my life, visit family, travel with friends, whatever.
Will you still be doing dick mugs then?
You know, that's a good question. Only time will tell.
Because then my dictator pun comes in.
Oh,
real clutch.
I see what you're doing there. Girl, start apologizing is what I'm going to tell you.
Don't you dare tell me to apologize for dick puns, Delaney Fisher.
No, I loved it.
I need to stop being so timid about goals. I've said this before on a podcast, and I still haven't changed that.
Okay, do
What's
it right now.
What's up with me?
What do you want
so
in 10 years, Kelsey?
To like be disappointed so I don't make...
Oh.
Because I used to do that. I used to make these really specific... I would like artist way the fuck out of it. And I'd be like, I'm doing these specific things in 5 years. But then if it didn't happen exactly how I wanted it to within that year, then I'd feel like let down. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, I'm not going to want for anything.
Well, that's that quote. That's the quote I was thinking of when I was thinking about a quote that's attributed to everybody, which is expect nothing and you'll never be disappointed. I said that to my psychiatrist this week and she was just like, you want to live that way? I was like, I mean, it checks out. Like,
yeah. You know, it's like the Cam way to live, right?
Yeah,
cautiously optimistic.
Yes, absolutely. And you're always like pleasantly surprised when something good happens.
Yeah,
right. And I think there's something to that. But I think maybe not putting a time limit on it would help. Like,
yeah, it stresses me out.
When you say like, I want to do, because I've done that too, where I'm like, I'm going to do this year. And usually that doesn't happen. But if I say this is a goal of mine,
yeah,
even if I make it at the beginning of the year, if I don't put that deadline on it,
yeah,
I do find that it happens eventually.
Same.
And usually sooner than I think.
Right. Same.
Yeah.
I for sure experienced that. Or it's like the things, I feel so like happy for so many successes in my career, but it's so impossible in this business to know exactly when it's going to happen. So it's hard to just be like, okay, in this neat little 12-month time frame.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe I just have to like reframe it in my mind.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to feel afraid of making goals. I used to be such a big goal person, and then in the last like year or two, I don't know why, I stopped making them.
Yeah. Well, that's why I kind of like the whole like set an intention of some kind also, instead of like a, you know, a goal. That you're really not disappointed with an intention, and then every time you work towards it you feel like successful. So if my intention going into 2020 is like to focus more on my wellness and my health, every time I eat a healthy meal, I'm doing it. Every time I'm exercising, I'm doing it. Versus I'm going to work out 3 times a week for the entire year, and then 1 week goes by, I don't do it, I feel like shit. And I'm like, well, what's the friggin' point? Just turn back now. Where are my bagels at?
You
know, like, so I don't know. I kind of like, I like a mix of stuff. I think having a big vision of what I really want my life to look like, and then being open to pivoting along the way, because I didn't know I would be doing this at all.
Yeah.
Like when I first started, you know, stand up, and then to writing, and, you know, this, and then the dick stuff, and then consulting, and now I'm building courses of like, what? I couldn't have pictured this. And this is way cooler than anything I would have written back then.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm kind of open to whatever 10 years from now looks like, because I don't know. Sometimes I feel like if I'm working, my big vision changes like every 6 months.
Mm-hmm. I know.
So I don't know.
Time goes so fast. Like, we're about to record our year wrap up episode after this. And it's like, don't you guys feel like we were just making New Year's resolutions? Like, literally. Yeah.
This was the longest year of my life. I feel like this year has been so long.
Oh, I feel like it's gone so fast.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's been crazy.
Ooh.
Wow.
You want to talk about how to develop
foundational practices?
I can do that. Yes. So in order to effectively pursue your dreams, you need to have foundational practices that empower you. Develop a healthy lifestyle. This can be accomplished in many different ways, but should include exercise, proactive mental health, and healthy sleep and eating habits. Surround yourself with an empowering community. You should be with others who enlighten, educate, and make you better. Learn how to say no. Mm-hmm. If you have a decision to make and the answer isn't an obvious hell yes, then it should probably be an honest and polite no, which we've talked about.
Yes.
I love that so much.
Oh, this stuff is so hard to, I love that foundational practices, because it really is like when your life starts falling apart, you're like, oh.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Oh man, if I were sleeping better and eating right, this would probably be a lot more manageable.
Yeah. Right.
And when things tend to get away from you, that's the first thing to go.
Yeah.
Also, just saying no. I mean, that's usually the answer when I'm overwhelmed is like, oh, I just need to say no to more stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what is wrong with me? I'm like taking on way too much. I yeah. don't have the mental or physical energy for any of this.
Right.
And it is empowering to say no, and it is empowering to take care of yourself. And yeah. a lot of times in order to take care of yourself, your mental health, your physical health, you get enough sleep, eat right, you have to say no to things and to people in order yeah. to be on top of all that.
Absolutely. I feel like I've gotten pretty good at saying no. I used to be really bad at it, but I think I've gotten a lot better with that.
Oh, I think so too.
I think agree. Like, yeah, I'm just... Yeah, sometimes I'm like, how many times can I say no this week? Let's see, you know?
Well, you do it once and it's empowering, yeah.
Yeah, you realize, oh, the world will not crumble if I say no. Like, yeah. you think, like, oh my God, it's all there. People are going to hate me. Everything's going to fall apart, you know? Like, but yeah. yeah.
People are adults.
Yeah, they'll figure it out.
We have an iTunes review of the episode yes, from Annie Liz One or Liz L. I'm not sure. Absolutely love this podcast. I listen every week. The girls are hilarious and inspirational. Thank you for the variety of topics. Aw, thank you so much,
That's
Annie.
So nice.
Thank you for
so
taking nice. Time to share some kind words. If you guys haven't already, please go give us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. It keeps us on the charts, helps us move up the charts, you know, spread the word about the show. Helps us a ton.
Yeah.
We have some definitely major segments.
Segments.
Yes, we do.
Delaney, well, is there something you'd like to share with the helpsters?
I mean,
that they
I
don't
guess.
Already know from stalking you online.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of a good shit. I'm engaged.
Yay! Yay!
Here's the ring, YouTube.
It's
yes.
so beautiful.
Cam Crush is... Yeah, if you guys want to know how I knew I'd be getting engaged, feel free to join Patreon and listen to a few of those episodes.
Oh, my God.
Patreon.com/selfhelpless. But Cam killed it. Oh, my God. He made me a you guys saw the video.
It was
he made
so good.
Me a very funny video. And so a few weeks before he did it, he told me that he was helping a friend like make a short film, which is not abnormal because we've both done that with friends and stuff. Yeah. And a lot of our friends are filmmakers. And so, yeah, he basically said, oh, yeah, they want me to play like a part in it. And it's like I'm playing a game show host and it's like a weird like dream sequence scene or something. I'm like, oh, that sounds fun. Cool. And then a few weeks go by, I totally forgot he had done it. And it was like the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. I'm like wrapping up work. I am so gross. I've not showered. My pants were unbuttoned like when I got engaged. Anyway, so I was so gross.
Is there anything more on brand you've ever heard in your entire goddamn life? No.
Sweaty. I had been working all day. It was a really busy day. And Cam had asked a couple times earlier in the day, like, hey, you know, Brian sent the video. Like, do you want to check it out and see this thing? And I'm like, yeah, let's do it. Can we do it like after lunch, though? Can we do it? You know, and I was like putting it off. And then, you know, around like 4:30 or something, finally watched the video. And it's Cam on screen playing a game show host and then playing all of the contestants on the game show. And it didn't hit me.
High
anything.
Production value. Yeah. I mean, a so lot good. Of editing. He's his own body double. It's
yeah.
Crazy.
Shout out to Brian, Matt and Aaron for helping with that. Seriously, it was so funny. So I'm not thinking anything of it because he set up that lie so well. I'm like, okay, this is, it's an interesting part of the short film. Nobody's going to understand this because all the questions were like inside jokes about our relationship. So around halfway through the video, I think I realized what was going on. I was like, wait, is this? And I kind of looking at him. And then there was one very clear part in the video where I knew I was getting proposed to. Because it was like one of the questions was like, when did you first tell Delaney Fisher you loved her? And then Cam answers and it was like, November 27th, 2016, 3 years from today. And then looks at the camera and I'm like, wait a minute. What's happening here?
Oh, my God.
And then the video ends and Cam's looking like, do you know what's going on? I was like, I think so. And then he pulls the ring from the couch cushion. He was hiding it in the couch cushion. And then asked if he will he marry me. Aww. And it was very cute. It was super so funny. It was very cute.
It's maybe a great video.
Maybe I'll share it on Patreon.
It blew our minds.
Yeah.
I mean, Kane came on the podcast and absolutely killed.
Yes.
I mean, killed the proposal.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He did.
Cam, I mean.
He really.
Crazy how yeah. good it was.
Planning and thought. Yeah. You know, yeah. I. And
you
then,
can't compare. You can't compare proposals because everything is special and
also
like
different.
Customized for the person.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You guys because you guys are more, I think, like private.
Yeah.
And Cam doesn't want like on camera stuff like that.
Right.
It was perfect.
It was so good.
Perfect.
He did a good job.
Such a good job.
He did. And then he ordered us dinner and he had like wine and flowers for me and all that stuff that Aww. He like was keeping in the car.
Like, oh
he kept
God.
The ring at work and stuff. Like I had, Ugh. Yeah, I really did not think it was going to be happening around the holidays. I really thought it was going to be more so in the spring. So.
Taylor and I were screaming.
We were
like sending voice messages to Billy like, oh my God. My jaw is to the floor. Kane was like, fuck. He did so good. Like, Kane was like, shit, man.
Kane did a good job, too.
Yes, he
did. Killed it.
Yeah.
I mean, Kane couldn't have done a better job.
Yeah.
I'm very happy with it. So,
beautiful ring.
You know, Cam's going to be my husband. Look at that. That's very strange.
And you know what's weird is the contentment with Cam episode came out.
I know.
Like, right after you guys got engaged.
And I'm like, dude, you knew. He had this plan for, like, 2 or 3 months or something. And I'm like, you knew the whole time. And, like, nothing slipped. And, like, I mean, I can't believe he kept it to himself.
I love that he did it the day before Thanksgiving so that you could go and, like, show off your ring to your family. I mean...
He did
beautiful.
A good job, dude.
Killed it.
He did.
Also, very impressed. He did not even like consult with anybody.
No.
About
he told
what to
nobody.
Do.
Nobody.
Yeah.
He told
so there was no way you were ever going to find out.
No.
It's not like somebody, like, that's impressive.
All credit on him. Like, his idea. Fucking beautiful.
He told his three friends.
It's so good.
Yeah. The three friends who helped him film it were the only people who knew. Like, he didn't tell any of our family. No friends, no family.
That's amazing. Like,
I love that.
It's so good. I mean, I'm gonna be honest, like, I was happy with my proposal this year, and it's because Delaney told him what to do, and then my sisters executed it.
I did it. Like, I just asked, and he was like, that's the plan. Like, oh, it sounds
but
like
no, it's extra. I think a lot of guys do that, and it's extra impressive when they like have the idea on their own, which Kane and Cam both did.
Yeah.
Both of them were like, this is the plan. I'm doing it.
Kane did ask me for the restaurant recommendation, though. And I said, hey, I know this place.
Yeah.
And
that's
he
true.
Used it. But, you know.
And I'm glad. I'm glad he did. I mean, he fucking knows where he would end up. No, he's got to get
just in the In-N-Out parking lot.
Yeah. No, but I love that restaurant. That was great.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Yeah. I just can't believe it actually happened. I really thought it would be several more months. So
it's so beautiful.
It's so beautiful. The ring's so you too.
Oh my God.
I know.
I know we picked it out 2 years ago or something.
Forever.
Seriously.
It was like
right?
last October I found it
with
Kelsey.
Oh my God. Has it been that long?
Yeah, it was like last October. I found it with you and
Crazy.
We were like, oh, we should probably send Cam this information for when he's ready.
Oh, I love it.
Here it is.
Well, congratulations.
Thanks, guys.
So happy for y'all.
Yeah.
So
and Kelsey, Taylor, and Kane are going to roast us at our wedding reception.
Oh, yeah.
And I am so excited.
I can't believe you want us to do that.
I already know what I'm doing.
That is a recipe for disaster.
That is like the greatest wedding gift I could imagine. It was like, oh, that's one thing I know I want at my wedding is you guys roasting us. And I'm like, you guys have all the material you need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm terrified. Yeah. For you guys. Like, not for me.
You're
going
to
you
rip
guys.
Us to shreds. It's going to be amazing.
I'm so excited.
There's so much. I mean, I could roast myself, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. It's going to be fun.
Well.
It'll be a good time.
Okay.
Jesus. You asked for it.
Yes, I know. I'm like,
it's just
it is
cracker, no.
Public record. Let the record show on this episode of Self Helpless that Delaney wanted this for some weird fucked up masochistic reason.
Do you have a segment, Kelsey?
I do. Speaking of masochistic, I got my first full Brazilian sugaring waxing.
Oh, God. Where'd the sugar go?
And when I tell you... that it was without a doubt one of the worst pains of my life. I am not exaggerating.
Oh, geez.
So let me give a little backstory. For like over a decade, I have waxed myself at home using like the Sally Hansen bikini wax strips or whatever. But there are places in your nethers that like I just did not have the strength of spirit to ever wax myself.
Strength of spirit?
I not in my heart. I couldn't. I mean, I hate myself enough to become a stand-up comedian, but not enough to, like, do labia majora by myself. That is another level of hating yourself, and I'm just not there. So I, for years, have always done, like, the bikini area mostly, you know what I mean? Which is, like, the sides and the front, all that shit. But, yeah, I could never bring myself to do that, so I would just shave the other parts. But I was like, you know what? I want to give this a try. I keep seeing sugaring pop up. I've heard that it can, like... basically make it so that hair hardly ever grows back there, which is kind of cool. And sugaring is supposed to be much better for you than waxing itself, because it's just getting the hair. It's not ripping the skin. So there was like no bleeding. There's no bleeding, anything like that. It's literally just sugar, water, and lemon juice.
So why does it hurt so bad?
It's super sticky. It's ripping out your hairs.
Oh, God. But you're not bleeding?
In large chunks at a time. When I tell you she did a lip at a time, I'm talking top to bottom in one motion. I thought I was going to pass out. I walked in a little cocky thinking like, I've been doing this to myself for 10 years. Like, I'm coming in on a different level than somebody who's never had this done before. And I think I have a pretty high pain tolerance.
Oh my God.
Wow. I was covered in sweat. Don't wear something that you don't want to get sweaty. Like, wear a sports bra or something. I wore a regular bra and I had to take it off and walk out of there with my bra in my hand. Like I'd been mugged. And
well, you were.
I was. I think that's an Amy Schumer joke. They stole all her hair or something like that. It might be an old Amy Schumer joke, but there was so much pain. It's so much adrenaline.
Yeah.
And there's nowhere for it to go because I'm not gonna like scream in front of this woman. So every time she rips, you're just like, and I was like, do people usually like react? Like, and she's like, oh my God, you're being like a trooper. Most people are like pushing their hands against the back wall and like screaming.
God, no.
And it just took a really like longer than I thought it would.
How long did it take?
I mean, it felt like an eternity. It probably lasted 8 minutes, but it was
that's a long time.
You
for
did
every
everything.
Hair.
Everything.
Okay.
Everything.
Oh, I don't want to have
not
nothing.
A hair left.
Did they put like did they like oil it up after?
Your I mean, they do parts? Like a little wipe,
yeah,
to like make sure it's like clean or whatever.
Oh my god!
So I had all this. I've never experienced something like this. My body created all this adrenaline from the pain, and it didn't have anywhere to go. And so after I left, I was walking on the street with my bra in my hand, which I'd like completely sweat through. And I was alternating between laughing hysterically and starting to sob.
Oh my God!
And I called Kate, and I was like, I started crying a little bit, and I would just start laughing like hysterically, and I couldn't breathe. And he's like, what is happening? I sounded like the Joker. I just looked disheveled and out of my mind. So, oh my God. I'm just a word of warning. Apparently, if you go, the first time is the most painful, because after then, you're supposed to go once a month, and it's like right in the sweet spot of when it doesn't hurt as much anymore. Uh-huh. But I will say, I got home and looked in the mirror at it, and I was like, I'm running for president. Like, I have never felt more confident and powerful in my life. Like, that shit looks good.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I felt great.
Oh, God. So you're going to go back and do it again?
I scheduled my next appointment while I was there.
Oh, my God.
Even though I was traumatized. Oh. That's how, like, good the results are, where you're like, well, I want it to look like this all the time.
Oh, my God.
So I guess I will endure it. And it's supposed to never be that painful again.
Oh, I feel like lasering hurts less than all of this.
I don't know,
I heard that
dude.
Lasering hurts a lot, too, though.
I've heard it felt like rubber bands.
Lasering was fine. It was not that bad. There's a couple little like a little bit of a twinge or whatever, but nothing like that. No sob laughing in the parking lot after
I
lasering.
Really want you both to do it just to talk about it on the podcast so I know what.
Way.
Come on, man.
To get waxed once and I gave up halfway through.
Oh my
Because
God.
I worked at a waxing salon and they were like, oh, like you can do your first one free or whatever. Yeah. And so I was like, oh, okay. And it was like, I only did like a bikini. I didn't even do the full thing.
Oh.
And I was like, I cannot. This is not okay.
Oh. Weren't you trying to get us to go this
yes.
time?
I tried to get you both to go with me this time. You both bailed. And I was like, well, I'm still going to go. Fuck, I really wish you guys would have come with me.
Why had just shaved? So, because you have to grow it out.
Yeah, it has
a
to be
bit.
Like a certain length. Yeah, for the wax to be able to get it. But, like, wow.
I just don't think I ever need it to be bald like that.
Yeah,
I mean,
just
it would
don't...
be nice, but I don't know if I wouldn't be.
That's what you think. And then you do it, and it's like, this needs to be.
Yeah, if you feel great about it, that's I just like I've never met a dude who cared enough, and I don't want to. So yeah. I'm like I've never dated anybody who made a comment about hair at all in any way.
Yeah.
And anytime I've made a comment where I'm like, oh, I need to whatever, they're just like, oh, I don't care. And so I'm like, okay, well, if you don't care,
right,
then I'm just going to do what I feel good about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is, you know, I can do with a razor.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I just hope it just falls out at some point in old age.
I hope it just goes away.
That's a thing that happens.
In old age.
What are you talking about?
It's just like it thins
your poop and just turns into a tumbleweed and just blows off your crotch.
It just thins out and it grays over time and then you can barely see it. That's what I'm going to hold out.
Oh, good luck, bitch. I don't know the chances of that happening.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was. I really wish you guys would do it I know what like your reaction to it is.
I know my reaction would be just horror, awful.
We did have to take a break for a second.
Yeah.
She asked me at one point, she was like, do you want to like take a breather for like a minute? And I was like, yes, please. Let me.
I can't even like tweeze one hair down there, let alone rip the entire shit off.
Yeah,
oh my God.
It was.
That, no, I don't. I think
I've heard
I'm
sugaring's
okay.
worse than waxing, right?
In terms pain. Of pain. And nobody told me that. Nobody told me that part of it.
Why would you do that instead of waxing then? Because of the skin thing?
I mean, it looks great. There is no, like...
Irritation.
There's no bleeding. I mean, it was a little, like, swollen the first day.
Yeah, my crotch would be red for a week.
Oh, my God. It looks great. Way. There's no irritation. I mean, it's swollen.
It looks like the eye is... But yeah.
Oh, yeah, my God. I did, you know, I had to pull myself apart to pee, but
right,
it's fine.
I know. And the manicure tool story when I talk about my vagina like actually swelling shut when I say it looks like Rocky's eye turned sideways. Yeah. I don't know if it looked full. It wasn't fully like that. But I just mean like you just ripped all your hair out. Like it's a little mad at you for the first day. Mm-mm. But then like once that subsides, it's fucking awesome.
I can't even get my eyebrows waxed.
Oh really?
Let alone my entire crotchal region. There's no way. The last time I had my eyebrows waxed, they freaking took a chunk off on accident.
Ooh,
I'd be afraid my whole fucking twat would be ripped off.
Wow, you know what I mean? It's not gonna happen.
No, they were pros.
Yeah.
Like, oh, there goes my clit.
Hey.
Thank you.
Knowing you.
But it looks so good.
It's you guys should try it once.
Oh.
I felt like a warrior.
I guess if somebody paid me to do it and paid for the service, perhaps, like, or if it was a dare.
It felt like a Fear Factor challenge.
Yeah, like a lost bet.
As it's happening, you're like, we're not supposed to do this.
Yeah.
And I mean, you're really not. Like, that hair just, you know, biologically speaking, is there for many reasons. Mm-hmm. But, so I was like, oh, yeah, I guess this isn't something you're supposed to deal with.
That's nice. Kelsey played God. And
I'm keeping my bush. Taylor, do you have any segments?
I don't know if I do, honestly. During that story, I was like, ooh, I should have been thinking of something, but I was so distracted by your painful tale. I'm going to be honest. I don't know that I have any right now.
It's okay. You can I save don't think one I do. Episode,
yeah.
Did you have a nice trip recently?
I did have a nice trip. Yeah. I mean, that's, I guess, a good shit.
Yeah. That's a nice. You guys, like, you took a little time off, or was it more like daytime off working at night?
Kind of that.
Okay.
Like, I was there for like 5 days and did shows, or like, I was there for like 4 days and did shows like three of the four nights. I am currently now involved in a long distance relationship, and so I was in New York for a week, and it was really nice. I really needed to sleep, and I ended up sleeping a lot, which was great.
Well, that's awesome.
That is good.
Yeah, which I don't know. I just like then I got home and I was sleeping poorly. My sleep has been off. The weed blueberries have not been working as well as they have been in the past. So I don't know if I need to up the dose or what.
Probably.
Maybe take that strong CBD oil.
Yeah, maybe the strong one. Yeah,
right,
I haven't taken the strong one yet. My saw a lot of good movies. There are a lot of good movies out right now.
What's your favorite you saw?
I don't know. We saw Knives Out and Parasite, and Marriage Story, which do not watch that shit if you're sad, because
it just looks so sad in the trailer.
It's
very sad,
but it's really good though. Oh. I mean, it is really good. But yeah, I mean, don't watch it if you are in an LA, New York long distance relationship.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's just watching two people fight over where their kid's going to live.
Oh my God, so specific. Real, yeah.
And they're LA, New York. It is rough. But yeah, and then I saw that movie Honey Boy the other night by myself, which was kind of Shia a treat yourself, because oh my God, that movie's so good. He's like playing his own abusive dad in it. It's so good. It's he wrote it like in rehab.
Oh my God.
Yeah. He went to the like some sort of a screening of it and like met Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I was talking to him about it. It was crazy because I sent him a text and was like, I would go see this, but see it by yourself. He's like, I already saw it. I'm just like, oh, man, it was brutal. I mean, I saw a review that said, like, it's the most cathartic movie they've seen in a long time. And I'm like, oh, that's exactly what it is.
I really see it.
Like, imagine going to rehab and then writing a movie about your relationship with your abusive father, who you are now dealing with. The PTSD of being raised by him in rehab. Like, yeah. Wow. So that's the movie. And it's like, it's crazy to watch Shia LaBeouf play his dad and play him in a way that makes you like feel bad for his dad. Yeah. Like, it's like, so it's such like an empathetic.
Wow.
I watch all these interviews with him where he's like, it helped me like understand my dad more. Like, oh my God, it's so artistically interesting and impressive.
He's so good, dude.
He's really good.
Friggin' LaBeouf.
Yeah, man.
Beef. Yeah. The beef. Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Well, boy, lots of treasures and treats this episode.
Yes, there was.
This is coming out on December 23rd, so happy holidays, everybody.
Happy holidays.
Hope you're having a nice time with family. Hope they're not driving you crazy. Probably are, but it's okay. You can go to kelseycook.com for tour dates. I'm in 5 different cities in January.
Oh my gosh.
I am going to be a tired little pup. But yeah, if you go to kelseycook.com, you're going to see where I'm at. I'm going to be at Sketchfest in San Francisco, January 24th and 25th. And guess what? January 25th is the first self-helpless tour date of the year.
Whoa!
Yeah, baby. Coming to you.
I'm so excited. In San Francisco on the 25th.
Yes. We're going to be doing, we haven't decided if we're going to do a live podcast, if we're going to do some sort of hybrid of stand-up and TED Talk by Delaney.
Oh my gosh.
Podcast or something. But
yeah,
it's going to be great. So San Francisco, we're coming to you first.
Yes.
So excited.
That'll be
exciting.
Fun, dude. That'll be fun.
Go to ttomcomedy.com for tour dates. I'm also in 5 different cities, I think. So it's going to be a lot. But just, go to my website.
And my Thriving Artists course will be out very, very soon. So if you have a product-based business that you'd like to get off the ground, check out at Delaney Fisher on Instagram, and I'll let you know as soon as it's available.
Hell yeah. Bye, guys.
Talk to you next time.
Happy holidays.
Bye.
We love you.
Thank you guys so much for listening to Self Helpless. We love you guys so much. There are a few different ways you can support our show. You can leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. It really helps us move up the charts. You can also tell a friend about the show, post it on social media, and you can join our Patreon. It's where you can get bonus episodes from us and lots of really fun content and ways to interact with the show. That's at patreon.com/selfhelpless. And if you go to selfhelplesspodcast.com, that's where you can get links to all of our individual stuff. Delaney, where can people find you?
You can find me at DelaneyFisher.com. You can find the online courses there, one-on-one creative consulting, watch my comedy special, and find Dicks by Delaney there.
Perfect. Tay, where can people find you?
You can find me on ttomcomedy.com for tour dates and links to everything else social media-wise. I am at Taylor Tomlinson on Twitter and Instagram.
Perfect. You guys can find me at kelseycook.com for all my tour dates. My Instagram is at kelseycookcomedy. Twitter is at kelseycook. Please be sure to watch my foosball web series on YouTube called Wrists of Fury. I've had Delaney and Taylor on together. It was such a fun episode. And you can download and buy my album Savor It on iTunes, Spotify, anywhere you find comedy albums. We also want to give a shout out to our amazing producer, Lauren Mahoney, and our amazing editor, Emma Erdbrink. We love you guys, and we will talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye. Bye.